James chapter number 2 tonight, if you would, for just a few minutes. James chapter number 2. We looked at several verses in James chapter number 1, and I dealt with the latter part of James chapter number 1, and dealing with the evidence of religion, the evidence of salvation. We talked about a few things there that the Scripture listed, dealing with those that are saved. And there is evidence that if you're saved, there's some things that will certainly be known in your life. And one of those was self-control. And we dealt with that. And James had talked about in the latter part of chapter number 1, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. We talked about self-control. And we also talked about verse 27, pure religion, undefiled before God. And that's the visit of the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. We talked about having compassion, having charity. That shows evidence of a born-again believer. Amen. Someone that has charity. Someone that has compassion on others. That tries to help others. And we talked about the scripture that says that if any man has this world's goods and shutteth up his bowels to his brother, doesn't help someone that has a need. We discussed that and how that's not compassionate. And that's certainly not the way of a Christian, a believer. And so we also talked about purity, keeping himself unspotted from the world. I want to go into chapter number 2 tonight. I dealt with, on Sunday night, judging and how we're to judge righteous judgment. And I want to go in tonight, and James chapter number 2 deals with judging and another aspect of judging. And I want to go into that direction tonight and try to help us to understand some things about the Bible. Amen. It's always good to study our Bible. Amen. And so we discussed on Sunday night where the Bible dealt with in the book of Matthew, you have judged not that you be, that you judge that you be not judged in Matthew chapter number 7. And then we talked about James chapter number 4, speak not evil one of another in James chapter number 4, brethren, that you speak evil of his, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. If thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And we dealt with those verses and how that God instructs us with the beam and the mote. We discussed that. And God instructs us to take care of our own porch, clean out our own closet before we worry about somebody else's. Amen. We talked about not being a hypocrite and not doing something and then judging somebody else for doing the same thing that we're doing. And the Bible is clear on that. Amen. We're not to judge someone for smoking if we're smoking. We're not to judge someone for committing an adulterous act if we're committing an adulterous act. I mean, that's just plain Bible. Amen. You don't judge someone and condemn them from doing the very thing that you're doing. And a lot of people like to do that. A lot of people like to point fingers at somebody and accuse them of doing something or judge them for what they're doing because they're just as guilty. And the Bible is pretty clear on that. We're not to do that. Amen. We're to take care of ourselves. Make sure we're right with God and our life is in order and in obedience to the Lord. And then we judge righteous judgment. And it's, as we've discussed before, it's certainly not an uncommon thing for us to judge. Everybody judges. Amen. Everybody judges. You judge every day of your life. If you're riding down the road and someone starts around you, you make a judgment call whether they're going to make it or not. I mean, it's all sorts of judging going on. The world is full of judges, and they judge. Amen. It has to have a motive. There has to be proof to prove what they're trying to accuse someone of. So we understand that judging is a natural thing. But doing it righteously, doing it God's way. And then James deals with it in dealing with the brethren. In James chapter number 2, we'll start reading there. My brethren, have not faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and godly or goodly apparel, there coming also a poor man in vile raiment. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not being partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, not talking to the world, he's talking to the saved, amen. My beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Be not to, but ye have not, But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, or said also, do not kill. And if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiced against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, have not works? Can faith save him? And here is the verse of Scripture we dealt with the other day, the other service. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, one of you say to them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? We'll stop reading there for the sake of the message tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the precious Word of God tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather around the Word of God. And I pray, God, you'd bless the reading of your Word tonight. Bless the message, Father. I pray, help me to have clarity of speech, clarity of thought tonight, Father. Guard these lips of clay, dear Father, I pray. And Lord, we can leave this place tonight, and it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray you'd help us to glean from these Scriptures, Father. Help us to leave here knowledgeable, Father, and learn some things from the precious Word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you, we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' loving, sweet, precious, and holy name we pray. Amen. As we look in chapter number 2 and dealing with this subject of judging and judging righteous judgment, God has James to pen these words then, of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we're to be careful in our judging when it comes to those that come into the house of God. And of those that we are around, if someone comes up that's rich, do we pay more attention to the rich than we do the poor? There's a woe against that, amen. You ought not do that. And the Bible warns against that. We shouldn't do that. You're having evil thoughts and evil judging, and when you judge someone because they're poor. If you look at me and think that I'm rich, then you have made a terrible, terrible judgment call, amen. If you look at me and think that I'm poor, you're doing good, amen. You're doing well. You're running well. Amen. But we're not to have respect to people because one is rich and one is poor. And that's what the Scripture's given. If someone walks into our church and comes into the house of God and has on a big old Rolex watch and they roll up in a Rolls Royce and somebody rolls out the carpet for them and they walk up to the door, that person shouldn't have no more attention than anybody else in the house of God. Amen. If they're saved by the grace of God, they are brother or sister in Christ, and we're all of the same family. Amen? So they shouldn't get any special attention. Don't have them come sit on the front row and make a big scene. And listen, I ain't into that no way. That's probably why a lot of people don't like me. I'm not into big scenes. You know, if you got money, that's well. That's wonderful. And I'm not against it. I know people that's got money. The man that I work for is a multi-billionaire. And he's got more money than he can even count. And there's probably more digits in his bank account than is on a thermometer. Amen? And he's just got that much. But listen, he'll walk up to you and talk to you just like I will. He's just a very humble individual. And that's the way we're to treat him. Amen. And I'll talk to him just like I talk to anybody else. I'll tell him he needs to get saved. He needs to go to church. Amen. Just like anybody else. And that's what James is dealing with here, is for us not to be prejudiced. Boy, that don't go very well in the Baptist church. Amen. Matter of fact, that don't go very well in a lot of places when you talk about being prejudiced. Someone mentioned the other day, they come down to the place that I work at my shop, and they was talking about their vehicle, and they said, you know, I'm not prejudiced, but it seems like whenever I buy a car from a certain group of people, I always have problems with it. And he said, but I'm not prejudiced. I said, well, it kind of sounds like you are, but we're not to be that way. Amen. So here we see that the Bible is plainly speaking to us. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And so Jesus Christ, of course, set the example for us, and He is our example, and our attitude should be the same toward the rich or to the poor. Amen? They all have souls. They all need to be saved, rich or poor, small or great, the Bible says, and they all need the Lord. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Before we get into the judgment, I want to show you the example, first of all, and deal with the Lord of glory, and to give you some verses to help you understand the example that we had before us. There was never a time when glory was ever separated from the Lord. There was never a time in history, never a time throughout the Bible that you'll find where there was references to the Lord without glory. It's always been that way. He's always been the Lord of glory. He possessed glory co-equal with the Father. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 17. The Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He's always had that glory. He's possessed it co-equal with the Father. He possesses glory co-equal with the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. He possessed His glory in eternity past. John chapter 17, verse 5, the Bible says, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. This glory was evident in His incarnation, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when it comes again in the return, Matthew chapter 24, in His return, the Bible says in verse number 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So there's never been a time that Christ has ever been without His glory. With all the glory of deity attached to the person of Christ in past, in present, and in future, at no time did He ever show Himself to be a respecter of persons. Amen? Never did. He set the example for us. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 16, the Bible says, and they sent out unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, said, Master, we know that Thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest Thou for any man, for Thou regardest not the person of man. And so never was He prejudiced. Amen? If the person was rich, he needed to be saved. He needed to hear the gospel. If the person was poor, he needed to hear the gospel. And so he was not a respect of persons. Our Lord's glory is from everlasting to everlasting. And not once during His earthly ministry did He ever favor one man over another. Especially because of their wealth, because of their position in society, or because of any other reason, because of their class or whatever. He never showed partiality. Amen. So, as members of God's household, we should treat God's children equally. Amen? In the church house, we should treat everybody equal.
Amen.
Amen. I know that's not popular preaching in our day, but that's Bible. Have not the respect of persons. Amen? Our standing within the community should not be according to what we possess in material things. Our standing in the community should not be according to our fame or our fortune, but according to the redemption in Jesus Christ. In other words, they ought to know us because of our character and serving the Lord, not because of the things we possess. Amen?
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? It's Christ first, and then God will give you the things that He thinks you should have. Amen? The problem with that is most of us try to get the things first and then let everybody see all the things we got, and we get so wrapped up in our things and our materialism, we leave the Lord out.
Yeah.
Amen. So our community should know us by the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. Notice with me again verse number 2. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Just because people wear fancy clothes and fine jewelry, amen, that doesn't put them at the front of the line.
Amen.
They're to be humble Christians. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have money. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's wrong to wear fancy clothes and nice clothes. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? If you can afford it, hallelujah. More power to you. Amen? If you can afford it, there's nothing wrong with that. But we're not to, if we get to that place in our life, and I don't know that I ever see that in myself, but if I ever get to that place, I'm not to look down my nose at those that are poor. Amen? I'm to be a humble individual and realize that I'm just as lost could be without the grace of God. Amen? Without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing on Christ as my Savior, I'd die and go to hell just like everybody else would. Amen? And so we're to, not to have that respect of person and think that we're somebody special. We're to be humble. Amen? James is saying that a person is not to be accepted because he's rich, nor rejected because he's poor. Everyone is to be accepted alike. Amen? And so when the rich man walks in, we shake his hand. Now, when the poor man walks in, we shake their hand. Amen? There used to be a gentleman, I don't know what's happened to him, used to walk around in the neighborhood. Maybe he moved away. But he was pretty rough. I mean, he smelled kind of rough. And listen, I'd go up to him when I see him and I had a chance to, I'd talk to him. Boy, he had a testimony. He could talk to you. He'd been shot 4 or 5 times and he'd stick his tongue out and show you where a bullet went through this side. And I mean, he'd tell you all kinds of stories. But listen, he's a little rough on the rough side, and I'd invite him to church anyway. Amen. He needed to be saved, just like the rest of the world. Amen. And so here we see that everybody is to be accepted alike. The world's standard of values is far different than God's standard. The world makes heroes out of the wealth and fame. Amen? The wealthy and the famous, that's what the world makes heroes out of such. The Bible says and condemns the respect of person. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says, ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man. Church is just as guilty as the world in respecting man because of their wealth or fame. Amen. The church is just as guilty. But listen, we're not to be that way. And I'm trying to help us tonight. All those movie stars and ball players appearing in crusades. What about them? Listen, because they're rich, because they're famous. Amen. They make it to the front of the line. They get to make choices. They get to not to bow to the prayer time. They get to act foolishly whenever they're pledging allegiance to the flag because of their wealth and their fame, and nothing's done to them. That's the way the world looks at them, amen, because of their fame and their fortune and their wealth. The church is just as guilty. Would they have been invited had they been the same person working in a factory to be at those crusades and things like that the movie stars and ball players are invited to? We're trying to impress men, but we don't impress God. Amen? The Bible teaches that neither a person's money nor their fame qualify them to direct the Lord's work. If we cater to the rich for anything we hope to get, or if we look with contempt upon the poor merely because they have nothing to contribute, we'll be sadly disappointed in the day of judgment. I can't help but think of the scripture of the widow lady and her two mites. Amen. She didn't have much to give, but she gave what she had. And I believe God blesses that. Amen. I believe God would bless us, and listen, He does bless us, but He blesses us for not to be in a prejudice to those that are poor against those that are rich. And I realize that we are in a community of low-income individuals. That's where we are with Heritage Baptist Church. I understand that, and I respect that. I know folks around here, a lot of folks are on fixed income, and I understand that. But listen, we still serve a big God. Don't tell us we can't do something because we're in a low-income situation. Amen. I don't believe that. God gave us His property. Amen. God's done wonderful things here at Heritage Baptist Church. Although we don't have a big bank account, we have a mighty big God. Amen. And so, listen, we look at the poor just as we do the rich. We've had rich come. We've had rich to give. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. God can use the rich just as He can the poor. Amen. And the widow lady that gave the two mites to give all that she had, just as blessed as those that have a lot and gives out of their lot. Amen. Just as blessed, and God loves them just as much and blesses them just as much for giving. Amen. And so we should not be looking down our nose at that. The Bible teaches us, James is warning his readers not to respect persons on the basis of their outward appearance. The one place, or the first place, the one we place first may be the last ones to make it to heaven. Amen. So we're not to base it on their outward appearance. Now, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7, The Bible says, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. There's been a lot of people that use that verse of Scripture to make it meet their agenda. I'm not going to do that. When our Lord came to the earth to minister, He came as a poor man. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Amen? And so we focus on Christ when we're dealing with the respective persons between the poor and the rich. Jesus Christ was rich in glory. And He left what He had in glory and the riches of glory, and through poverty, amen, He came down and made Himself poor for our sakes, that we through His poverty might be rich. Not rich in this world's goods, but rich in heaven, amen. Rich toward a place called heaven that He's prepared for us. He said He was anointed to preach to the poor. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So Jesus Christ Himself was appointed to preach to the poor. I believe we ought to preach to the poor just as much as we do the rich. Amen. Or to preach to all of them. As I said, they all have souls. They all need to be saved. Jesus said, when we make a feast, call the poor. Luke chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And so, listen, there's nothing wrong with having things at the church house and calling the poor folks to come and eat. I see it all the time where people have community suppers. Churches have community suppers. We have a community soup supper here. I guess it's probably been a couple of years ago we tried to do that. And there was a few that came and they was poor. And they asked when they started to leave, said, what do we owe you? You don't owe us nothing. It's free. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. The Lord will bless us for blessing those that don't have. Amen? And that we can do that at the church. I know that a lot of people have suppers and they have fundraisers and things like that. And that's fine if you want to have a fundraiser. We've done one or two. We've sold some chicken stew and tried to make a little money and to put toward missions and some other things. There's nothing wrong with that either. But there's also nothing wrong with having a supper or having a meal and inviting the community to come in. It's a freebie. Amen? Come in and eat. Fill your belly. You can't afford it. We didn't ask you for a dime. We're giving this to you, but you must hear the gospel before you leave. Amen? You got to hear that before you leave or else. Amen. So we see that there's nothing wrong with that. And that's even viable. To call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, those that can't recompense thee, those that can't pay you back. Call those when you have a feast. Jesus tested the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, then give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now we understand, we know the Bible, we understand that in Matthew, that rich young ruler decided he liked his riches more than he did following Christ. Now stay with me for just a moment. I want to help you if I can tonight. I know we're dealing with judging, and I know that we're dealing with Christ as the example of and how He tested the rich young ruler and the things that He gave us to do as our focus in this Christian life. We're to focus on Him and preaching to the poor and also to the rich. And He's preaching to this rich young ruler, and He says to him, go sell that you have and give it to the poor. And this gentleman didn't want to do that. This young ruler didn't want to do that. Now, does the Bible say that he had to sell everything that he had? Absolutely not. The Scripture says, Jesus said to him, if thou be perfect, if thou be mature, if you would, go and sell it that hast, and give it to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. I don't know for sure that God actually meant for him to go and sell what he had. I believe that was a test. To see what he would do. Now, maybe, I don't know, this is some argumentative, I guess it can be, if you want it to be. I'm not going to argue about it. But maybe that God meant for him to go sell it and follow him. But maybe it's just a test to see if he would sell what he had, and if he would be willing to let go of it. There's so many people that are so wrapped up in the riches. And I want to say this tonight. I have talked to my wife and we had this discussion before we started the girls' home ministry. And we talked about different things. And we talked about having to get rid of our home and moving someplace else. And I mean, all these things during the ministry we talked about. And I told her one day, we sat down, we had this discussion about the direction of the ministry and where it was going. And I said, honey, I know that you love this place and you love this house. And at that time, we hadn't been living there too awful long. And she said, you know, I don't want to give up my home. I don't want to give this away. I like where I'm living. And there's some other things that we was discussing that we liked. And she said, I don't want to give those things up. And I said, I don't think God ever said we had to. We just had to be willing to. That's a big difference. Amen. And sometimes people are just not willing. And God knows the heart. Man looks on the outside, but God knows the heart. And people may say that they're willing to give it up, but then truly in their heart, God knows they would never do that. Amen. And so that rich young ruler certainly didn't do that. And that could have just been a test that God knew his heart and would he give those things up. And I'm not saying tonight that you have to, but would you be willing? If somebody came to you that was poor and needed something, would you be willing to give up what you have to be a blessing to them? That's where we need to get to. We're living in a day, we're living in an hour where everybody is so greedy. Amen? And we want everything that we can get for ourselves. And we want to keep everything that we get. Let me just run this rabbit while I'm on the subject. It's not every time you get something that God meant for you to have it. God sometimes gives through us and not to us. Amen? Sometimes God gives us something that it's not for us, but it's to give that to somebody else. I had a bus that was given to us in the girls' home ministry, a 22-passenger shuttle bus. Boy, I was excited. Hallelujah, we got a bus. And I thought that God was going to give us more girls because we got a big bus and He's going to fill it up. God didn't give it to me. He wanted to give it through me. And I found this out the hard way. Because it was the biggest burden I ever had. Every time I'd crank the stinking thing up, something break. Every time we'd get it out on the road, something would break. We'd have a blowout. Or something would fall off. I mean, every time we tried to do so, it was the biggest burden. And finally, one day I was sitting in my study looking at that thing out there in the yard. And I said, God, why did you give me that thing to be such a burden? And then somebody calls me on the phone and says, Preacher, I hear you have a bus you might be interested in getting rid of. I said, hallelujah, he's heard my prayer. I said, yep, as a matter of fact, I do. I didn't shout on the phone until I got off the phone. I didn't want to know how bad I wanted to get rid of it. But it was a church up in the mountains, and they said, Preacher, we run in two vans on Sunday morning and run in two trips, and we really could use that bus. I said, Brother, come and get, matter of fact, what's your address? I'll bring it to you. And he said, well, Brother, if you'll do that, we'll give you a little something. But Brother, you don't owe me nothing. I'll bring it to you. I'm on my way. Give me time to pump the tires up. And I was praying, Lord, please, let this thing make it up there. Amen. Well, sure enough, it made it. And we pulled up in the parking lot. And it was such a blessing to this church. They called me the next week and said, Preacher, we had 19 children on that bus on the first trip and had to run it the second time and picked up 22 and filled the bus up on the second trip. I mean, they was plumb beside themselves, all excited. The bus didn't give them a lick of trouble. I talked to them a little later, probably a month or so after that, and the bus didn't give them a lick of trouble at all. I said, that's what it was for. It's for them, wasn't for me. Amen. Sometimes, and I said all that to say this, sometimes God gives to us. Don't give to us, but He gives through us. Amen? That's the way it works with missions. Sometimes God blesses us financially, and it's not for us to keep it, but it's to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? And a lot of times we look down at our nose at somebody and say, well, they're poor, they're just going to waste it away. Hey, listen, you just obey God and let God deal with them. Amen? We're to be a blessing to the rich and the poor. Amen? And try to help those that help themselves. When it comes to helping the poor, I like to see people trying to help themselves. I have a hard time with deadbeats. There's a difference. Amen. Y'all help me. There's a difference in deadbeats and poor people. Amen. Amen. Those that live off the system and those that won't strike a lick at nothing and always got their hand out, there's a difference in them and the poor. Yeah. The poor people have got just a little bit to deal with and they do everything they can with what they've got and try to help others. Amen. Don't mind helping folks like that. If the Bible teaches us not to have a respect of persons for those that are rich or those that are poor. I know that Jesus would have required this I don't know that Jesus would have required this rich young ruler to sell all that he had to give to the poor, but he had to be willing to do so. The Christian's actions toward the rich and the poor. Faith loves without prejudice. Amen? When we're dealing with charity and the believer, there cannot be prejudice. Amen? There cannot be partiality. We have to love the rich as much as the poor. We have to love the ugly as much as the good looking. Amen? There are different forms of prejudice. Racial, religious, cultural, social, political, professional. There's different types of prejudice. And that is inconsistent in the Christian life. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, the Bible says, God is no respecter of persons. In the New Testament, the Jews had great prejudice against the Gentiles. You'll study that, you'll find they didn't like the Gentiles. They was against them. They hated the Gentiles. It took a special revelation of God for Simon Peter to drop his Jewish prejudice and the witness of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. You'll find it in Acts chapter number 10. Even then, the Jewish Christian church in Jerusalem called Peter to account because he gave or went to the Gentiles to present the gospel. It's natural for each of us to accept people like us, but to reject those who differ from us. It's natural, but we're not natural in Christ. Amen? We're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit because God, the Spirit of God dwells in us. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. We look upon people from the spiritual viewpoint, not from a natural viewpoint. There is no place for any prejudice in the life of a Christian. None of us should be prejudiced. Amen? We accept anyone that Jesus accepts. And He said, go ye to all the world, for whosoever shall call. Amen? And that's the way we should be. Amen? We shouldn't be prejudiced. God forbids us to do that. Amen? When we're talking about that, looking at this thing on the spiritual viewpoint, let me help you just a moment. I'm going to drift off of the judging for just a minute. I'll come back in a minute. But I want to run this rabbit real quickly while we're talking about the spiritual viewpoint. We look at people on the natural realm. Amen? We look at people, that's the way the world judges. Amen? That's the way the world looks at people on the natural realm. As I said, we're not natural because we're in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within us, so we look at them in a spiritual viewpoint. That's why the Scripture says to call the older sisters, amen, call the older women and the women of the church, you call them sisters and brothers in Christ. If we begin to look at people as brothers and sisters in a spiritual realm, there'll be less adultery and fornication within the house of God. Amen, amen, that's good preaching, amen. The problem we have is people look at others naturally and they have a natural attraction. And we're not to do that. We're to look at each other in the spiritual view. Amen? We're to look at the younger as sisters and the elders as mothers. And we're to love them as mothers and sisters and get along with them and look at their life in a spiritual viewpoint. Amen? Well, that's just a little plug there for keeping sin out of the church. Amen? But whenever we're looking at people, we're not to look at them in the natural aspect, but look at them as spiritually. There again, let me run this and say this, as I've been saying it for several weeks, we're to be spiritually minded and not spiritually blinded. Amen? Amen. And we're to not to be prejudiced and live our life as though we're better than everybody else. Amen? And also on the same token, we're not to live our life as though we're below everybody else. You know people like that? I know people like that. They think they're lower than a snake's belly. Amen? And Apostle Paul said he was the least of the least and he was the chief of sinners. I understand that. And I was the same way. I am the same way. But listen, we're not to live under everybody else and let everybody walk on us. Right. Amen. We're somebody. Amen. We're God's people. We're God's children. And we're to love each other and pull together and work together and not look down our nose at somebody else because they don't have what we have. Amen. Not to be that way. We're to help them to attain the things that they need in this life. If they have need, try to help them meet that need. as long as they're helping themselves. Amen. And we're to love each other and pull together and work together. Then the community sees the church that loves each other, that works together. The rich and the poor, they come together and they shout together. They worship together. They cry together. They pray together. And the community wants to see that God that they serve. Can't see Him physically, but they can see Him through our actions. Amen? They can see Him through watching us. Prejudice, judging people because they're rich or poor or whatever, is not allowed in the Christian life. Our attitude toward the rich and the poor should be that they're equal. Amen? They're God's children. They're no different than we are. They deserve the gospel. They deserve the blessings of God. They deserve to have a church membership. They deserve to be a part of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. They deserve, if they have talent, they're living right for God. They deserve to be able to be used in the church. Amen. They deserve all that. Amen. We're to love them and be good to them. And in return, God blesses us. Amen. I hope this will help you tonight, for all of us, to watch our attitudes. Amen. When it comes to the rich and the poor, how we treat them, how we talk to them, how we react to them. Amen. Not to be, God wasn't a respecter of persons, and we're not to be that way either. Amen. Love people.